Good morning. We're learning the Rashot Aran. We're up to page Taf Mem Bet in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. The Aran had described that being that the king gets tremendous powers and the king does not have to answer to any system. He's got almost limitless power. That's why the Torah says he should always have a Sefer Torah with him. He should always review what the Torah really wants of him. His responsibility is to adhere to the Torah as best as possible. And even when he does things that the Torah doesn't define specifically, he should always ask himself, which mitzvah in the Torah am I working to uphold when I do this? If he knows that someone committed a murder, but there aren't believable witnesses, so the king has to tell himself, I have to strengthen the mitzvah of Lo Tirzach. I have to ensure that there isn't murder in the people. Generally, the only way a court can execute a murderer is if there are witnesses. Okay, my responsibility is to analyze if a crime was committed, so then how can I protect this mitzvah of the Torah? But again, the perspective has to be, I'm given this license, I'm given the strength in order to protect the mitzvot of the Torah.
What about this question? The general topic of kings or not?
Nah, let's hear the Ran. Thursday night.
So I'm saying it's connected to this, what you're saying.
You're caught.
We have this concept of, obviously, this concept of, what do the English call it? Like, when the monarch is the divinely ordained, that was called. So, how come there are so many of them turned out so bad? I mean, significantly more bad than good kings. There were significantly more, how can the Torah instruct the king? How come there's so much material, I guess, spent on instructing the king to do good when it seems that human nature goes against?
Exactly why I said to hold the Torah on him, in order to combat that human nature. The Torah seems to recognize it, and therefore give an antidote to it, which is, or a strategy to deal with it, which is hold a Sefer Torah on you all the time, so that when you feel inclined to act corruptedly, which is what kings have, being given so much limitless power, is bound to happen, you're prepared for it.
I'm saying it doesn't seem to have been a good method against. I'm saying
you think
something which is so high.
I think that the place where we fell was when kings weren't established based on prophets. So long as kings were established based on the Torah system, we find things went very well. In the Davidic dynasty, things went very well. There were exceptions, but the general rule was that the kingships were positive, so long as things went with the Torah system. When kings came to power by force, like the Herodian dynasty, there you see mass bloodshed. But when kings were appointed based on their piety and based on the prophets, so we see great success. David, Shlomo, Rechavam, you see good things coming from them. Asa.
With the kingdom of Judah, it was half-half. It wasn't majority.
I don't know. Look again and see. I'm not convinced. I think that the corrupt kings were the exception. Again, so long as things were being done based on the Torah system, the appointment of kings. When things got out of hand, when it was the Romans appointing our kings, when Herod, because of his political clout, could take the throne. And then you have the stories of Agrippa, etc. So then you run into eras where, they were very murderous. Being that the king has such great power, and so therefore it's natural that he will become arrogant. So the Torah gives a special warning for the king, and the Torah says, his heart should not be raised from his brothers. The Ran is saying a big chidush here. He's saying, this is a mitzvah not only for a king. When the Torah says his heart shouldn't be higher than his brothers, it's a mitzvah that really applies to everyone. Here the Torah is saying, God doesn't want you to be arrogant. The Torah singles out the king in giving this commandment for two reasons, says the Ran. Firstly, because he is more susceptible to it. The king is in a position of power. It's very natural that he should become arrogant. Secondly, the Torah is telling you, if I commanded the king not to be arrogant, then certainly every individual shouldn't be arrogant. The Torah is teaching you something by giving it to the king. Everyone else should infer they certainly shouldn't be arrogant. Ken katav Ramban Zal. This is what Nachmanides writes. Ulfi dati sheyesh bamelech tzad yichadehu. I think there's still something unique about the king. Shemimen roi yoter shelo yirum levavo mitzad amalchut yoter mima shoi shelo yirum lev shar adam mitzad amalot animtzot bahim. With regards to a king, it's more correct, it's more appropriate and fitting that he is warned not to be arrogant just because he's king than other people. The who and the reason is as follows. The Ran says, the who, the reason it's more important for the king, שידוע שהמלכות איננו דבק, דבר דבק למלך, אבל הוא דבר ניתן אליו מאתם. When we look at the rights of a king, so the king has his right to the throne either because the people want him there, or because Hashem wants him there. So the king is given a position of leadership, responsibility, authority, and he's being given it either by the people or by Hashem. Either Hashem says, I need him to be there to fulfill the duties the nation needs. Here there's a question whether the word should be O. In your version it says O letzorech tikkun atzmo. Okay, can we look? Because there's a version, they suggest that it should say Lo letzorech tikkun atzmo. That he's not given the throne for his own personal gain. Meaning the wording O is difficult here. They also have it. Oh, it's Tikkun Atzmo. Okay. So, and that's what King Solomon said in his great wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, Tov yeled misken v'chacham, better a child who is impoverished yet wise, mimelech zaken uksil, rather than a king who is aged but foolish. Because this old king is very dangerous. He doesn't know how to be careful anymore. Because he went to become king without an education. He went to become king from a place that ultimately he doesn't have the tools to be a good king. So then the Ran is saying, a king shouldn't feel like, I am king, look at me. On the contrary, he is given the title as a responsibility. Rav Saadia Gaon writes, why do we stand up when a rabbi walks into the room? It's as though we're saying, we're all counting on you, we're putting pressure. It's a statement, says Rav Saadia Gaon, of pressure. Standing up is a statement, we're relying on you. So when a king gets the title king, he's given that title as a responsibility. You have to be there for the masses. You know, the Chassam Sofer asked the following philosophical question. He says, everyone's farmers, right? The average person is a farmer. And the farmers realize that they need some way to ensure that no one steals their crops. So they take one or two people and they tell them, we want you to be policemen. You're going to ensure that no one steals our crops. So they appoint policemen as their servant, as the public servant, to help ensure that no one steals their crops. But then there are times where the farmers can catch a thief or have arguments, and they say, we need someone on top of the policeman to oversee, to ensure that the laws are enforced properly. So they appoint another servant, a servant to the servant, meaning they have the policeman, and the policeman's servant is the judge. So the judge is there to oversee, so that he's public servant number two, meaning their first servant is the policeman, and then the next servant is the judge. Then they want to make sure that the judicial system runs properly, so they appoint a mayor for the city. They say, you're going to oversee the judges, and who oversee the policemen, who are really our servants. Then you have a bunch of different manners. They all want to get together and ensure that they have a system. So they appoint someone on top of that until you go all the way up to the king. So he says, if you think about it, who's the most important person in this line of work? The farmer. Everyone is here to serve the farmer. The policeman is here to serve the farmer. And the judge is here to serve the policeman, who's here to serve the farmer. So he's a servant to a servant. And the governor is here. And until you go up to the king, and he's the lowest of the low. Because he's just there to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servants, all the way down to the farmer. But says the Chazam Sofer, you look around, and no one looks at the king that way. Everyone looks up to the king, and everyone says, look at how much honor the king should have. Why, says the Chazam Sofer, why is that so?
The king is more than that. He's the face of the nation.
Okay. But it's the nation. He's there to serve the nation.
It's a theory of political power.
Okay, so the Ran is saying, you have to remember that it depends on how you view the position of being king. If a person views the position of being king as, everyone honors me, I have all the power, I am great, so then it's a very dangerous king, someone who views it that way. That's very often the danger of the sons of kings. The second generation. They're born into it. They feel like they control the people. That's where it becomes even more dangerous. So if a king recognizes that he gets this title because he's there to serve the masses, and he shouldn't just view himself as the great power of the nation. Aval ke'eved aleihem. The king has to view himself as their servant. Etzorech tikunam. His job is to help them. His job is to ensure things run smoothly. Umitnei zamru be'oriyot. And that's why the Gemara says in Masechet Oriyot, kesvurin shesh srarut ani noten lahem, avdut ani noten lahem. The Gemara says, when they were appointed as rabbis, they were told, you think I'm giving you authority? I'm giving you servitude. You are now a public servant. That's Rabbi Leventhal, who used to be Rabbi in Arnov. So he wrote a book, Srara Shehi Avdut, Leadership That's Really Servitude, a book about being a rabbi. Tips for new rabbis. So that's based on this Gemara, that a person has to view the position as you're here to serve. V'zeu shamar David alav shalom. That's what David HaMelech said. Peace be upon him. Susharim rashichem v'yavo melech hakavod. He says the gates open up. The king of honor should come. Mize melech hakavod Hashem. Who is the king of honor? It's Hashem. He wasn't talking about himself. ונמצא כתוב לריזל במגילת סתרים. רבינו יונה quotes in מגילת סתרים שלו שפירושו כך. He explains the pasuk the following. שהמלכים כולם אינם הולכים על הכבוד, אבל הוא מולך עליהם. All other kings, they are bound to honor. כי כפי מה שירצו המון לתת לו מן הכבוד, כן יהיה לו מן המלכות. Kings are bound to the question, are people going to honor me or not? If the masses decide not to honor the king has a problem. If the masses turn on the king has a problem. עד שאם ירצה לשים מהם כל הכבוד הוא יוסר מהם המלכות לגמרי. If people want to remove the king completely, so then the people can decide, we're done with him, and they're done with him. ונמצא שאינם הולכים על הכבוד. So then kings are kings on subjects, but they're not kings over honor. Because honor is the choice of the people. So long as the people choose to give them honor, so they have honor. And if the people decide not to, they don't. They might not even have the throne. Honor, so to speak, rules over them. The question of whether the people will honor them or not is the constant fear that a king has. Aval Hashem Yitbarach Melech HaKavod. Hashem is king over honor. Ki u'molech u'moshel alav. Hashem is in charge whether you like it or not. You want to honor him, you don't want to honor him, it's completely irrelevant. Hashem is, so to speak, in charge. He is king over honor. V'achri she'en kavod ha'melech u'malchuto l'tikun atzmo. So if a king recognizes that his honor and his rulership is not for his sake, no one's doing it for him, but his purpose is rak l'tikun ha'am, his job is to be there for the people, so the Ran says, this is my position. We learned earlier the Ramban's position, two reasons why the king gets a commandment not to be arrogant. One, because he's more apt to be arrogant. Two, so that other people will learn a fortiori, kal vachomer. If he's not supposed to be arrogant, certainly I'm not supposed to be arrogant. The Ran says, no, I want to suggest a totally different reason, says the Ran. The Torah is saying don't be arrogant because you have nothing to be arrogant about. The position of being king is a position of being a public servant. If when the Torah tells the king don't be arrogant, the Torah is saying retain the correct perspective on the kingship. Don't view the kingship as I am king, but rather the kingship is the responsibility to serve the people. And that's why the Torah says don't be arrogant, because the Torah is saying your perspective should be not a perspective of how great you are that you are the king, but rather how responsible you must be because you are the king. You have to be responsible for the good of the people. And therefore, says the Ran, a wise man can be more proud of the wisdom they've acquired, because here they have something. But a king can't be proud of the fact he's king. All he has is a responsibility to serve. A wise man has much more room to be proud of the wisdom he has. If a king remembers that when he is given the position, his job is to help others, then he can recognize how he shouldn't be arrogant. When a person becomes very wealthy, so he might think it might be easier for them to be arrogant. When the Torah stresses it for the king, the Torah is saying you have no room for arrogance. Your whole purpose is to serve the people. There's a story of one of the rebbes that used to dress royally. I don't remember who it was. Everything he wore was royal. One time they looked inside his boots and they saw that there was nothing inside. The boots were completely uncomfortable. So they asked him, what's going on? So he said, the royalty is for the people. They have to feel that there's royalty. But I don't have to feel that there's royalty. They have to see it. So for them, on the outside, it has to look nice. On the inside, I have to remember who I'm supposed to be. That's why the Torah singles out the king and warns him not to be arrogant. That, says the Ran, is because it reiterates the king's responsibility. When the Torah says, don't be arrogant, the Torah is saying, remember, there's nothing to be arrogant about. What you have is a responsibility.